Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Alabama. Welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Our show, The Flatline, is about motivation, education, and inspiration. And we try and definitely always do function without any manipulation. That means there's no hidden agendas. There's nothing secret about what we're trying to do. We certainly are not trying to con you out of any money or sell you anything. We just have some accurate information to offer you. If you enjoy this show, I invite you to stay tuned every Sunday morning here on WERC, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We also, by the way, are running a couple of shows in the Mississippi area. One show in Jackson, Mississippi at 9:30 on 97.3 Super Talk, and one show at 9:30 Sunday morning in the Hattiesburg, Mississippi area, also on 97.3 Super Talk. So these are three radio shows that I'm now doing, and I believe the Lord has led me to do this. God is, I've always believed if God's in it, he'll pay for it, and if he's not, then I just will do something else. And so he has been providing the funds for these, and I'm very, very grateful for the grace of God and allowing me the privilege to be on this radio station and other radio stations and to talk about the Word of God. What a privilege it is to represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in a way such as this. It's a privilege that you would trust me, that you would tune in to listen to me, and I thank you very much for this opportunity to give you this information. And we always talk about orienting and adjusting by verifying and identifying the plan of God. That's what our show is about. We want to verify and identify the plan of God for you so that you can orient and adjust to that plan. The way that you do this is under the concept that we call LAG, L-A-G. That stands for Learn, Apply, and Glorify. So as you learn the Word of God, the Bible mandates that you learn the Word of God. The Bible, for example, says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. The Bible is full of the command intent of our God and Father that we learn His Word and apply it into our life. And simply what I'm looking for in this show, the reason that I do this show, is I'm hoping that God will lead me to a handful of people, maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, that'll place a serious precedence in their life on learning the Word of God. People that would be willing to study daily. People that would put priority number one in their life, learning Bible doctrine, learning the Word of God. So much so that they would put a tape in their car, or they would get up in the morning or before they go to bed at night, listen to a tape by a qualified pastor that would instruct them and teach them in the Word of God so that they could grow in grace. This is the sort of person that delivers the nation. This is the sort of person who becomes a member of the pivot, and I want to talk to you about that today. The pivot, because that's what I'm looking for, pivot potential individuals. I'm looking for people who will be willing to have a national impact on their country, not by being a demonstrator or a protester, but by means of their spiritual life, so that they quietly become an invisible hero. These are the sort of people that God uses to deliver a nation. Invisible heroes, not visible demonstrators. God never sent us to demonstrate and fight against sin and to clean up the devil's world. That's not our job. Our job is to glorify Jesus Christ and lift him up and to reconcile the world to God through him. And to the extent that you get involved in cleaning up the devil's world, you're wasting your time. Because the Bible tells us that man is full of sin. He always has been and he always will be. You're not going to get anybody to quit sinning. So that's one of the reasons when I'm talking to students, I never even talk about sin. I talk about God's Word and about grace and about forgiveness. They see sin is just it's not the root problem. It's what's out on the branches. The root problem is the arrogance of the soul that rebels against God in whatever way that it chooses to rebel. Several years ago, I wrote an article in the Birmingham News in the editorial section. And this article was entitled, "Is There Any Hope for Civilization?" referring to the United States of America. What I want to talk to you about today concerns what's going on within the United States of America. It does not take a genius to see that we're in a great deal of trouble. There's a lot of polarization within our nation. There's a lot of hatred within our nation. There's a lot of racial division within our nation. Politically, it's hard to find a politician with any integrity. Socially, we are facing so much hostility and animosity between the races that I don't know why we hadn't all killed each other yet. It's just unbelievable, the hatred and the animosity that's out there. Socially, heck, one out of every two marriages seems to end in divorce. More illegitimate children, more diseases that we can't control, can't cure, and there's more on the horizon every day. We all live in fear and intimidation that some asteroid might hit our planet and kill us all. We all worry about our money and are we going to lose it? Is the stock market going to crash? Blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, it's a sad time in the United States of America. And we got churches on every street corner. Every Sunday morning, those churches are full of people. And they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But on Sunday night, there's less than a handful. You can go any major denomination and you'll find less than a handful on most Sunday nights. Because it's ritual without reality and it's meaningless. They show up in their nice clothes and their polished shoes and they sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and put a few bucks on the offering plate, approbate God a little bit, and shove off for the lake on Sunday afternoon. And the pastor's there Sunday night to teach the Word of God, and less than a handful show up. Where did all those people go? Why didn't they come back? What is it going to take for people to figure this out and realize it, that so much of what we call religion today is ritual without any reality to it? You see, it appears to many that America's in trouble. Politics, economics, social values, spiritual heritage, all of this point to an alarming trend in history. If we charted the trend, if we tried to chart it, these variables would all seem to be in a downward spiral. That, eventually, will end in chaos and confusion in our country. Yes, we're in trouble. The United States of America is in serious trouble. Now, nothing's static, nothing ever stays the same, and it's not the 50s, I realize that. There's so much confusion, so much division, so much fragmentation and polarization, that unless we wake up and realize what's going on, we won't be the power that we are much longer. It seems like every nation in the world hates us, doesn't it? Iraq hates us. Iran hates us. North Korea hates us. Russia hates us. The only ones that really like us are the ones that we give money and protection to. And if we stop doing that, I think they would hate us too. Maybe some of the people that the federal government gives money and protection to might not like you too much if they didn't get their money. Who knows? So the greatness of a nation can only be measured by the virtue of its people and the integrity of its government. I'm going to say that again. Now listen carefully. The greatness of a nation can only be measured by the virtue of its people and the integrity of its government. Now what that simply means is that when the people have no virtue-related values in their life and the government has no personal nor collective integrity, then chaos and confusion are inevitable. And the United States of America is headed for chaos and confusion because it is hard to find a whole lot of people that have much virtue. And it's hard to find integrity in government. Oh, it's there, but only in small snippets. When these things happen, people begin to fragment and polarize and they lose sight of the historical heritage. They become victims of their own bad decisions. You've heard me say on this show that bad decisions limit future options. Yep, America is fragmented. America is polarized. Many young Americans today have lost sight of their historical heritage, and they are beginning to be victims of their own bad decisions. I want to talk to you about a man named Clarence Mannion. Clarence Mannion was the dean of the Notre Dame Law School from 1941 to 1952. He, even back then, recognized this trend and phrased it in this manner. This is the way that he said it. Dean Clarence Mannion said, "Man begins his existence in bondage, and he rises up from bondage through spiritual faith. From spiritual faith comes courage, and from courage comes liberty. From liberty comes abundance, and from abundance comes selfishness. And from selfishness comes complacency, and from complacency comes apathy. From apathy comes dependency, and from dependency comes bondage." Did you hear what I just said? From bondage to bondage. This is the course that the United States of America is taking today. We started out of our bondage through spiritual faith. And it was because of the faith of the founders of our nation. We just celebrated the July the 4th weekend. The spiritual faith of these men that had the courage to fight for liberty. And the spiritual faith of a lot of men who, you know, it's kind of hard to find an atheist in war. I can assure you of that. It's hard to find an atheist in a foxhole. It's hard to find an atheist that's going to jump out of an airplane when things are all calm and collected and smooth and easy. There are a lot of atheists until they're on their deathbed. And then they have to be faced with the reality that they do not know where they're going. Strangely enough, it takes as much faith to be an atheist as it does to be a Christian. Because you see, you cannot prove that God does not exist. And so by faith, you believe that God does not exist. Isn't that strange? Because the Bible says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So man beginning in bondage, coming out of bondage through spiritual faith, and from spiritual faith to courage, and courage to liberty, and liberty to abundance. I think we're there, aren't we? We are abundantly blessed. And from abundance to selfishness. Have we gotten there yet? Are we a selfish nation? From selfishness to complacency. And from complacency to apathy. And from apathy to dependency. And from dependency back into bondage. Dean Mannion said this is the cycle of all civilizations. The question is, are we doomed? Is there hope? The conclusion that you and I must draw is obvious. Human solutions are no solutions. The only solutions are divine solutions. This cycle that Dean Mannion talked about can be broken. Yes. It can be reversed. Yes. But the only way that it's ever going to happen is by giving attention to spiritual values, beginning with the Bible, the Word of God. You must pay attention to the Bible. You must pay attention to the Word of God. You see, true freedom gives one the option to succeed or fail. And that's the interesting thing about God. He didn't make you an automaton, a little robot. He didn't make you that. He gave you volition. He gave you the right to succeed or fail. That's what God did. Under spiritual freedom, God gives all of us equal privilege and equal opportunity. The privilege that we have is to believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept Him as our Savior. And the opportunity is to learn God's solutions and act upon them. If you have never taken the privilege to believe in Jesus Christ, and you've never taken the opportunity to learn God's solution and act upon it, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. And you can vote for who you want to vote for, but the Bible says, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man." No politician will solve the problem. Today in Jackson, Mississippi, for example, there's an emergency alert People are forced to be in their home by 8 o'clock at night during the week, and I think it's 10 o'clock on the weekends for teenagers. Killings and murders. Birmingham's much the same way. Go to any major city, much the same way. There's a whole subculture that only comes out at night. We have big, big, big problems in our major cities. No one pays attention to the spiritual life. Now, the only way we're going to change this is not to get more police. It's not to get a better mayor. It's not to send in the National Guard. The only way you're going to change this is by the grace of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it's only when the heart of man is changed that the pattern of his lust is changed. That's the only way man's going to change. So, we live in a client nation. We live in the United States of America. Client nation is a term you may have never heard before. I want to introduce you to this term, a client nation. The United States of America is a client nation for God. This is why it's very important, because this is why some of these things are going on, and this is why we're in danger of losing our client nation status. What is a client nation? It's a national entity under the patronage of God. That client nation is assigned the responsibility for the formation and the preservation and the communication of the Word of God. That is what a client nation does, and that is what Israel did, exactly what Israel did. They were a client nation for God. They were the client nation that formed, preserved, and communicated the Word of God. Now, way before Israel became a nation, way before Abraham ever had a promise from God that he would have a son, the custodianship of the Word of God involved divine revelation apart from Scripture. No Scripture, no Bible. But you see, since Israel has become a nation, and Israel was involved in the authorship and the custodianship and the dissemination of the written Word of God, the Torah, the Old Testament, the minor and the major prophets, the Psalms, the Proverbs. Now, what's happened since then? During the time of the formation of the New Testament, the client nation changed. It changed from Judea to the Roman Empire in 70 AD when the Jews were completely wiped out. They were scattered, the diaspora, they were scattered over the face of the earth. Rome went into Jerusalem, killed them all, conquered them all, enslaved them all, just destroyed the land under the Roman Emperor Titus. He besieged Jerusalem and burned it to the ground and scattered salt everywhere. And it was at this time that about 1,000 Jewish zealots fled up to the top of Mount Masada and lasted for 3 years before they all committed suicide. Yep. The client nation, Israel, ceased to be a client nation any longer in 70 AD. So, there are new client nations. And that's a different term now. Let me give you the understanding here. Client nation is a synonym for a priest nation, a priest nation. The name priest nation is used for Israel. Listen as I read Exodus 19. See, listen. You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. And now, therefore, if hearing, you will obey my voice and keep my mandates, then you shall be my own possession among all people, for all the earth is mine. And then you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to me. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. See, that's God ordaining the client nation. And then in Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, out of all of the peoples that are on the face of the earth. God directly chose the Jewish race. God created the Jewish nation through Abraham, the father of the Jewish race, and through his son Isaac. Now, the interesting thing about the Muslim war that we fight today is they don't believe that Isaac, that the lineage of God came through Isaac. They believe it came through Ishmael. And that is Abraham's illegitimate son with his handmaid, Hagar. Not the son that he had with Sarah, Isaac. And that's what they believe. And so it's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible teaches. So as this client nation to God shut down in 70 AD by the defeat and the conquering of the Romans, then Gentile client nations began to pop up, and the first was Rome. And it was Rome, it was during the tenet of Rome, that most of the New Testament was written. The Gentile client nation category follows exactly the same pattern as Israel, with a few differences. So, a priest nation is the term we will use for Israel, but a client nation is the term we'll use for Gentiles, like the United States of America. We are not a priest nation, not a nation of Jews, although we have many Jews that live here, and we are mandated by the Word of God to protect them and bless them. We are a client nation. Now, a client nation is different. And the client nation is us. And this, in Roman history, a client nation was somebody that depended on another family. So instead of calling a Gentile nation a priest nation as such, the believers, those of us that live in the church age, since we're holy priests and we're royal family of God, according to 1 Peter, then we are a client nation. Israel was always a holy nation, always. And we're called a holy priesthood because in the church age, every believer is a priest. You're a priest. I'm a priest. So that's us. So this client nation to God is a nation under divine protection. There's no doubt that America has been under divine protection for many, many years now. And the reason that a client nation is protected by God is because it has a large pivot of mature believers. These believers have blessing by association to those around them and historical blessing to their nation. So a client nation can be destroyed by believers who get out of fellowship with God, who spin off into the cosmic vortex, and the pivot of mature believers that keeps the nation firm and keeps the nation whole begins to shrink. And shrink, and shrink, so that the ones who have rejected the Word of God, the ones who got distracted with the details of life, are no longer priority number one, their spiritual life. The pivot shrinks, the nation loses its client nation status with God, undergoes the cycles of discipline that the Bible talks about, and it is replaced or removed. This is true. This is what the Bible teaches. And so, it's important for us to understand that we are a client nation. And what keeps the United States of America a strong client nation is you, the pivot. Are you a part of the pivot? Are you part of the pivot? Do you want a guarantee for your children and your grandchildren a free nation, a prosperous nation? Then take your spiritual life seriously. Because if you don't take your spiritual life seriously, if you just play a few games with God, you know, if you go to church and you go through the ritual and there's no reality to it, you are guaranteeing that your client nation, the United States of America, is going to undergo the five cycles of discipline until eventually we will be destroyed and replaced by another client nation. You are the answer, or you are the problem. As goes your spiritual life, so goes your nation. Why do you think I say these things to you? Why do you think I'm on this radio show? Because we're in trouble. And because the only way out of it is your spiritual life. And if your spiritual life is null and void and you're trapped in the cosmic vortex, you're following the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times. If you're not taking your spiritual life seriously, if you're not growing in grace in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Now, what is it that destroys a client nation? What is it that destroys a client nation? It's one word, apostasy, and it's always a cancer in a client nation. Apostasy, and if it grows long enough, then that cancer will destroy the client nation under the five cycles of discipline. in every case of Jewish apostasy in the Jewish client nation, both the clergy and the politicians were indicted along with the negative volition of the people. So there were three people that were responsible for the destruction of the Jewish client nation: the people, the clergy, and the politicians. Now, I'll read it to you right out of the Bible so you know I'm not making it up. Jeremiah 6:13-14. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for profit. And furthermore, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone manufactures lies. In fact, they allege to solve problems with my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Principle. Good decisions of national leadership result in greater options for greater decisions, but bad decisions destroys freedoms and enslave the nation, so that the client nation status is destroyed from within. We are on the verge of being destroyed from within. That sort of nation is not prepared for war and is not prepared for peace. They've not taken their spiritual life seriously. And you and I both know if there's been an attack on anything in the United States of America in the last 30 years, it is an attack on God and an attack on Jesus Christ, so much so that his name cannot be said in public, a cross cannot be displayed in public, a child cannot be led in prayer in a school by a teacher. Every kind of attack in the world to stop the name of God and stop the name of Jesus Christ from being promoted in the public agenda is going on right now today. What do you think? Who do you think sponsors this? Where do you think this sort of stuff comes from? It is all an attack. Satan is so well organized. This is an attack 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road. It's not our generation that's going to lose everything. It's the next generation. They are the ones in trouble because you are not taking your spiritual life seriously and they are being misled and gullible. Now, we've always been and we always will be the product of our own volition. In other words, you can blame a politician, you can blame the environment, you can blame, play the blame game, but every time you point your finger at someone, there's always three fingers pointing back at you. You did not take your spiritual life seriously. You like the gifts, and you forgot the giver. You were so busy having fun that you were distracted by the details of life, and you did not take your spiritual life seriously. You barely even found time to go to church on Easter, maybe on Christmas, but the rest of the time you hung a shingle out that said, "Leave me alone, God, I don't have time for you." Oh, you prayed when you got in a jam. Sure you did, because you thought God was a genie and he was going to pop out of the eight ball and solve your problems. You are a sucker because you have bought into the lie of Satan, hook, line, and sinker. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to realize that the reason that we are the greatest nation in the world is because we have a spiritual heritage? Men who put spiritual values first, men of virtue, men of integrity. And it's all being shoved out the window today. What do you think is going to replace it? Not anything that I can depend on, I assure you. There's a lot more that I need to talk about, and I'm going to come back next week and talk about this some more. I hope you'll stay tuned. I hope I haven't turned you off with my ranting and raving, but I'm just getting started. I'm going to say a lot more about this because it's such a critical time and such a critical issue. You must understand the point. So until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.